Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
By law, 21 plus, terms and conditions apply.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind.
Welcome to the show. It was a night of first last night. Julia Morales had her first opportunity to do play-by-play, at least this season. So I don't think she's done it before, right? And Alex Bregman had a nice night, a good game. I think Alex Bregman is the guy who needed it the most. We'll get into the call of one of his home runs by Julia Morales, because I think there's a deeper, darker conspiracy going on here as far as what she said as she was letting the world know that Alex Bregman was about to be in the midst of a big-time game. But he had a nice night. Two home runs, another late hit that drove in runs as the Astros kept tacking on runs, and it reminds you of what we thought this team could be. You know, the hashtag is relentless, and I think I saw someone initially use it in game one because they were tacking on runs on the Yankees early. I think they're up 4-0 at one point, and they're like, yeah, you know, the hashtag is dead on. This offense has been relentless. And then, well, then they've been anything but relentless up until, I guess, the last couple games where they have tacked on runs late and put games away to relieve some stress for the bullpen. You know, Brian Abreu came in last night and was good, and they didn't need those other guys. Certainly didn't need Hader with Bregman's late hit. Didn't have to run Hader out there. So the Astros had a nice night against the Oakland A's. They get the Oakland A's again with Blanco on the mound. So credit to Spencer Arrigetti. He gets his first win as an Astro. A lot of the questions for him were about getting that first win and what it might mean. And he's a pitcher who, despite all our jokes, has improved steadily. This was the first time it resulted in something where he can take it with him and go, you know what, my first major league win, and go keep the baseball or the lineup card, whatever it might be. But you're just looking for improvement for a guy who probably shouldn't be up on the major league level right now. And we know why he's here. And you just want him at some point to be a guy that maybe it won't be this year, but when we're talking about the future, he's one of those prospects and now an actual major leaguer where you're like, okay, we hit on that one. He's going to be A-okay and then at least be a part of the rotation going forward. So nothing but positives, man. That's their second in a row. Obviously they've bounced back from the Javier disappointment on Saturday, and at this point it's all about stacking positives together every game. And of course it's not realistic to do that, but You try to get these wins when you can, and it wasn't an easy night till late, because the A's kept fighting back. You know, the Astros went up by a couple runs. The A's would trim it to one. The Astros would go up by a run. The A's would trim it to one again. But once the late innings came around, and what we've seen from this team in the past, that clutchness that we've come to expect showed up. It turned into a runaway. So the Astros get the win. Arrigetti gets his win. Bregman has a nice night. And this Alex Bregman is one that is familiar to us. Beyond the home runs and the RBIs, I don't know if I want to call him snippy, but he has been moved down in the lineup. Joe Espada talked about how that was a difficult conversation to have with him, and he was asked about it after the game. You know, hey, Alex, You move down in the lineup. Could that be a reason why you've turned it, why you had a big night? And in typical Alex Bregman fashion, he tossed away that notion, and he also let everyone know this is probably the start of things to come.
Not really, but wherever they want me to hit, I'm going to hit. And I feel like over the course of 162, the cream always rises to the top.
That man said, I'm here right now, but I'm not going to be here for long. I'm just letting you know. At some point, they're going to move me right back up to cleanup because that's who I am. I'm him. He pretty much said, I'm him. Don't worry about me. It'll get turned around. And I guess he's telling everyone he's the cream. I wouldn't use that terminology for myself, but he's letting everyone know this is only temporary. And I think what does he say? What's that line, Sean? The apology should be as loud as the disrespect.
Yes.
That's what he's saying. When it's time, when it's Alex Bregman time and I'm hot, I want everyone who was after me early in the season to come back and go, we were wrong. I know what he's doing. He's not fooling me. That's fake. I don't even know if I want to call it fake humble. I don't even think he was that humble at all. He's just telling you, everyone, there's going to be a time when I'm going to be where I'm supposed to be, and that's certainly not batting this low in the order.
Yeah, I'm not sure if one game you can go cream. You heard cream rises.
You heard what he said.
Do it again.
Look, I know it's funny with baseball people. Baseball people will tell you when they're struggling, hey, it's a long season.
Everyone goes through
the things. He has one big night. I'm letting you know. I'm ready. I'm him. Don't worry about me.
No, Bregman's back, yeah, baby. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that with baseball.
I'm the cream.
When it's time to sell yourself and how good you are, at least in Bregman's case, you're just letting everyone know. Yeah. I'll be back.
Also, Kyle Tucker's the cream.
Yeah. Alex, maybe we call Alex Bregman foam, because foam rises to the top too.
But it's a little less thick.
Yeah, and it's not what we're looking for. Yeah. So maybe you're the foam. We'll see what happens later on as you continue to stack good day after good day. But I caught it. He's not happy with where he is. He didn't appreciate, and that's why Espada called it a tough conversation. We had a discussion about it last week. I was like, what's so tough about it? Just tell the guy who's struggling to tell him you're going to keep playing, but you're going to be lower in the order. Apparently, that's tough to say to a baseball player. And Alex Bregman didn't want to hear it. And he's letting you know, I'll be back. Don't worry about me.
I wonder if Alex Bregman had any issues with Joe Espada's communication.
Yes, that is another thing Snippy Astro fan is talking about today. Anytime, well, must have been great communication. Look at the night they had.
I mean, it does feel like hearing Bregman again after his first good game of the season, hearing him talk that talk. It does. It's the Bob Nightingale thing where it says a couple prominent Astros had issues with Joe Espada's communication. I feel pretty comfortable being like, Bregman, probably one of them.
If we're going by his post-game comments, he's a guy saying, "Yeah, I don't like the communication because he communicated fine. I just don't like what he communicated."
Yeah, I have issue with what he communicated.
Yeah, it's not a lack of communication. I just don't like what he's saying. And look, we all hope that the swaggering stare at the camera, Bregman, wherever that guy has gone, is going to be here, and because that means he's playing really good baseball. But relax.
I just want him back because when he stares at the camera, that's normally after a home run.
Yes,
and
that means
he
good
hit
things
home
are
run two and three just last night.
This is what I'm saying. It's good for the team if he's staring into a camera because that means he's hitting the baseball and driving in runs. But I mean, yeah,
cream rises, baby.
You're hitting .218.
Well, cream rises.
You had a great night. You had three hits, and you're still hitting .218. I mean,
the cream is .218 right now.
The foam. He's the foam until proven otherwise.
The cream is nine games under .500.
Yeah, once you get to .250, I'm gonna say okay, the cream is right into the top. But right now, if you're still hitting under .220,
yeah,
you're the foam. But I appreciate the effort. I appreciate the confidence and the swagger because that means the Alex Bregman that we've become accustomed to ain't gone. Usually, Longhurst Keith doesn't talk about the Astros, but I'm gonna get to him on the other side. It is my goal to try to stay on the clock as much as possible. I don't know how much I'm going to do it, but at least I can try. So we're just getting started here. We'll talk about what happened last night in the NBA. We'll hear more from the Astros because Cesar Gaetti talked about getting his first win. And it was an interesting night in the NBA because, you know, the Celtics did everything they could to prove, at least some people right, about how about their inability to close out games strong. And then the Thunder, you got to credit that young team for finding a way, and particularly Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, tough shot maker. We'll talk about the numbers behind that statement because when everything looked kind of lost for them, he found a way to go get buckets and pull them out of the fire. And now that series is tied at 2-2 going back to Oklahoma City. Keith, we'll get you when we come back. We're just getting started. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Welcome back to the show. Longhorn Keith. If it is Longhorn Keith, because we always got a question if someone's impersonating someone else. Let's talk Astros. What's up, Longhorn Keith?
Hey, hashtag the people for Rahizi.
It's just Keith.
I want to say the Astros, man, congratulations to our beloved Astros for winning another game. And Dale, hey, buddy, I got a question for you. What do you think about Sasha Gray, actress, pillowing on the internet? What do you think?
Oh, just Ryan pretending to be Longhorn Keith. Longhorn Keith is kind of obscure because he's only called like once to the show and he still used them. Sasha Gray, you mean the adult actress Sasha Gray? Have you seen enough of her? In fact,
she is an actress. She is an adult. Yes.
She makes movies. She did make movies exclusively for people of a certain age. You had to be 18 plus, at least lawfully, to watch. Of course, teenagers always find a way. Just like life always finds a way. Teenagers do too. I would say she's long since retired from that type of activity, those type of activities, at least online and for public consumption. I'm going to say that's a, you know, it could always retire, but she's been retired for a long time. You always say, oh, an adult actress retires, they're always going to come back. But she's been retired for a long time.
I got one more in me.
Yeah. Well, it turns out that they have both. Oh, there,
never mind.
There are so many.
I might have more than one.
Yeah, there's so many ways to take that, and we're not going to. But she's been retired for a long time. I feel like that's a permanent thing for her.
Mm. It's like Bill Cowher. You know,
yeah.
When he retired and then for 5 years.
Oh, come on, Bill. You want to come back? Rumors that Bill Cowher might come out
every
of retirement.
Time, every time the Giants fired a coach, it was like, oh, maybe Bill Cowher.
But I think
then now it's just been 20 years since Bill Cowher's coach.
Yeah, I think she's come to the realization a long time ago that, eh, I don't want to do this. So, Ryan,
right,
you know, because she has a history, I have to give her a higher percentage because you never, ever, ever know. It's still under 10. I'm going to go 4.5%, only because of her past history. But all indications are that's long since been something she's decided is not part of her life anymore. But
ran from the grind.
You are changing the okay. Her and Dame Lillard. But I think that's closer, Ryan. But nah, still very low percentage. She's done well after leaving that world. So you're probably out of luck. You're probably gonna have to look at standard definition videos on websites.
Maybe that's what he's asking. He's just, that's why he's asking. It's like, man, can we get some, at least some 720 in here?
Yeah.
Some 1080p?
Like, if I'm on her Wikipedia, and it's like, the last time she, according to this Wikipedia, the last time she was in something that Ryan is looking for.
She was pillowing on the internet?
Yes. He said, we're talking like 2008 or 9? 2010. Ryan, it's been 14 years, man. You might want to let that one go. But you've got plenty of back catalog if you want. I just, maybe he's looking, maybe he's spoiled and looking for stuff on sites that won't give you the best definition, high definition stuff. It's not what he's looking for. But sorry, she's long since gone past that part of her life. It happens. People change and evolve. Not Ryan, though. He's got a standard bit. Fake a name and then call in about an actress. I did want to talk a little bit more about the Astros as before I got distracted by that conversation. So, yes, Mr. Arrighetti on the mound. He gets his first win. And a lot of questions were asked of him, like, hey, man, what's it feel like? What are you taking away from this? Actually, symbolically, and actually, what are you grabbing from your first ever win? But this is Arrighetti responding to a prompt, or at least a question by a reporter, because it was put to him this way. Joe Espada says you've turned a corner. And they wanted to get Spencer Arrighetti's reaction to that. Here's what he said.
It just feels like the elephant's out of the room. I don't think I'm chasing anything now, and I think I can really, really focus on just getting better each week between starts and trying to keep give us a chance to win.
So he went five innings, five Ks, only a couple walks, and 86 pitches. And that's what you're looking from him. He's at best going to be your fifth starter if he stays in the rotation. And that's certainly up for debate with Urquidy making his way back. And, you know, they're going to have the six-man rotation thing, so Hunter Brown's going to get another start here eventually. But if he's going to be that guy last night, that's all you can really ask for from him. That was a good performance for him. You want to keep the momentum you gained from the weekend series in Detroit and having him come out and keep you in it and do better than that and then have the offense explode late. From the seventh inning on was big time. So credit to him for continuing to grind as opposed to running from it like certain people that we mentioned in this segment. and he keeps working and he keeps getting better. So he's no longer a guy, at least when I see him coming up his turn in the rotation, I go, oof. He's elevated himself past the Hunter Brown, JP France level. You still aren't overly confident, but at least he's getting to a point where you can expect him to get out of the third inning. He's a guy who won't be someone, at least in my eyes, I'm going to be just waiting for long relief to begin.
Yeah, he's not you're not expecting a disaster, but he's still a fifth.
Fifth starter. Who's
made like five starts.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably going to be another blow up at some point, but you can see the progress he's making, and that's all you can ask for. He's been put in a position no one expected him to be in this early, particularly this season. And you know, you get a win against a division opponent, and when your team is still trying to find their way, you're certainly going to take it. And he was a big part of it. You know, Abreu and Presley got in last night, didn't have to see Hader because of the runs they tacked on from the seventh inning on. So I think you're going to take this night and say it's one you probably didn't expect with Arrighetti out there, but with him out there and then you get to Blanco tonight. Now maybe you actually get a streak going as you get back to the strength of your rotation. And who would have thought that Ronel Blanco classifies as the strength of your rotation, but he's been my favorite Astro so far. A really remarkable story as far as what was expected of him and what he's provided. So I do want to play this call before we maybe step away from the Astro stuff for a little bit, and Sean will pull it up. Julia Morales was the play-by-play person last night. She is well known for her work doing the crowd work, being in the dugout, taking a picture of the guys before every game that goes up on social media. But she switched places with Todd Callis. And, of course, Todd Callis took a picture that looked like he had wiped grease from his thumb on the lens. So taking pictures, not as easy as you might think if we're judging by what Todd Callis did. But Julie Morales was the play-by-play person. She called a couple home runs for Bregman. And some people are saying, keep Todd Callis out of the booth, because if we're going to get this type of Bregman, maybe Julie Morales is the reason why. I'm not going to say that. I'm just going to say she did well. She was entertaining. But I think there's a conspiracy that we have to look into. I don't know who pushed for her to do the swap, but when you hear this call, you're going to hear something. If you're not aware of what Julia Morales does outside of being an Astros, I don't know what you call it, a correspondent, there's no sideline there, whatever the particular term is in-game correspondent, I guess, for the Astros. You would be surprised by this if you didn't know what she did. I was surprised. The listeners informed us this morning of what this was about. I thought it was off the cuff. It appears that she has a product line that she was pushing on last night's game. And I'm looking at Sean. I don't know if I would call it struggling, but
I'm sure, on the other side?
I'm sure the system is screwing with him a little bit.
Can we do it on the other side?
Yes, we can. Yes, we can. I was vamping as I was watching Sean try to make sure this would work. And look, I know I'm in there for 3 hours a day. I know sometimes there are issues that you can't anticipate. So it happens. But you'll hear it when we come back. She was in the booth, had a good time. Jeff Blum was having you see a couple of the videos of her making those calls, and Jeff Blum's just laughing because I didn't know what the baseball y'all thing was about, but he certainly did, and so he's laughing at her while she does it. There's another woman in the booth laughing too. So it was on a night where anything could happen when you have Spencer Arrighetti on the mound. All you got was really positives, and you look at guys who. A guy like Jeremy Peña, who his elevation in the order has kind of turned things around. I believe since he's been moved up, they're like 4-2 since he's been elevated in the order. A guy who a lot of people question because where had the power gone? Stop working out. Start swinging a baseball bat. We see whatever work he has done with the hitting coaches and his offseason stuff he's done by himself has turned him into their most consistent hitter right now. We know Altuve's always great. Tucker's bringing the power. But as far as Jeremy Peña's offense and his ability in the field, he may be their most complete player right now. And we're talking about the guy who last year people wonder what happened. We let it go because of we've talked about it here on this show, what he did in the postseason 2022. But it looks like we got that guy back. Certainly the sample size is a lot larger of him being good than Alex Bregman's cream to the top type performance last night. But I'm not moving Jeremy Peña right now. I know Alex Bregman wants to get back to maybe the four spot in the order, but you can stay where you are. Put 2 weeks together or put 30 plus games together like Jeremy Peña's done before we start having a real conversation. It won't take that long. If Alex Bregman's back to being Alex Bregman, he's going to be back up in the order. More quickly than that. And we'll have that audio from Julia Morales on the other side, courtesy of Space City Home Network. But first, I want to tell you about Aqueduct Plumbing. I talk a lot about repiping and what dirty and bad water and stinky water can do for your home, what it does to your home, what a leak can do to your walls or your flooring. But they do other things. They'll come in and fix a regular leak, something that's not in your wall, something where you turn your faucet off and you still get that drip, drip, drip of the water, which is more annoying than anything else and a little costly. They'll fix that too. They have leak detection. I've talked to you guys about the free price quote. Just give them a call. It doesn't have to be just about repiping. I know that sounds like a big deal, but they'll do the small jobs for you too. Things that you can't handle, they certainly will. Just call them at 281-488-6238. That's 281-488-6238. The free price quote is the best one in town. They have experienced contractors and they're local. They're going to take care of their local customers. So if you need a remodel, gas piping, hydrostatic testing, they have all that for you. Or it could be as simple as a water filter. Go to Aqueduct Plumbing for all your plumbing needs. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Bregman drives this one, and you can say bye to that baseball, y'all!
Alex Bregman! Welcome to the party. Hanging slider smashed. That'll make you go wild.
One of two home runs Alex Bregman hit last night. We all know what happened. you can look at a box score if you're watching the game, you know. But what we didn't know, at least I didn't know until I was informed this morning, is that baseball, y'all. Oh, by the way, that was Julia Morales on the call for Space City Home Network. She swapped with Todd Callis last night. What I didn't know that baseball, y'all, was the name of her clothing brand, her baseball clothing brand. So it brings a question to the table. Julia Morales simply inserted baseball, y'all, to bring attention, right? Simply to the t-shirts and the brand. I mean, that would she have? Is it, will that be a normal home run call for her going forward if she ever gets another opportunity? Or is it simply an opportunity for people to discuss where you can go get t-shirts and hats? And it looks like it's predominantly a woman's brand, at least woman's clothing. I'm looking at the Instagram right now. And kids, it's for moms or single women without children and young kids. I don't see male models on this. So I respect it, honestly. You get in some free promo without clearly crowbarring it in. For someone who's just watching the game and doesn't know, oh, I guess that's Julia Morales being Texan. She's just dropping a y'all in because she's from here. She's Texan. Todd Callis would never. Todd Callis ain't a Texan. He would never drop a y'all in.
Wow, Todd Callis.
I'm not taking a shot at him. He's just not going to.
Sounds like you're calling him a carpetbagger.
I'm not calling him any such thing.
That's how I interpret it.
Oh, yeah, that's, well, you can interpret it any way you like. I'm not here to try to determine or
is he Texan enough?
Or if he's Texan or enough. That's not me. If you want to do that,
I will.
I can tell. I'm not Texan, so I can't be put in a position to do that.
Todd
Callis
went to Syracuse. That points against him.
Par for the course when it comes down to people from that area coming down here and taking our jobs. I mean, is he on vacation or is he back? Not Todd, but Paul.
The other one?
Yeah.
He is back. He's today one is of his first day.
He's one of many. He's not the other one. Paul's one of many. Yeah. One of many Syracuse grads who come down here and take our jobs. But yeah, I did not know, but I respect the y'all being thrown in there, baseball y'all being thrown in there. It's just, hey, I got other things going on here. I mean, she's been a part of the Astros broadcast for years now. I'm not gonna, but it is a fickle business, and Julia's got to have other revenue streams. I'm just saying, I appreciate the free promo.
I do too, and yeah, the name works effortlessly into the. Into the call. It's not like it was like Adidas or something. Yeah. We're like, yeah, that ball's going to leave us, Adidas.
Yeah. If she had dropped, because if you, her Twitter, I mean Twitter, the Instagram handle is Shop Baseball, y'all. If she had dropped Shop Baseball, y'all. Okay, then it's too much. Then it's too much. But just baseball, y'all. You got to love it. The Ingenuity by Julie Morales, as she called last night's game. I saw some people say she got better and better as the game gone on. And that went on. And that makes some sense. Inexperienced doing it and getting the opportunity to do it. And you get more comfortable as you get more opportunities. So Julia Morales, who's been on this station a number of times, and she got the opportunity. And it was a big night, I guess. And I don't know how many times it's happened, if it's ever happened, that two women were the play-by-play voices for each team's TV broadcast. I don't remember her name, but the A's permanent play-by-play person is a woman. I'll get her name for you. So it probably, if not the only time it's happened, a very unique experience in baseball.
Yeah, I think it was the first time. I think that was,
and maybe
the,
that's why they did it.
Historical aspect of it. Yeah, it was. I mean, I'm kind of surprised another broadcast. I mean, it is. May 14th. I'm surprised another broadcast didn't already snake this historic moment from the Houston Astros. But hey, we got it.
And Julia was
down in the record books forever. They'll never take this away.
Her name's Jenny Kavnar, the A's play-by-play woman, and I think Major League Baseball, at least the official X account, acknowledged Julia's on the call. When she made the baseball y'all call, they're like, "That's Julia Morales on the call." So I think it was a pretty big deal to have it happen, and they certainly acknowledged that it was different and unique. So congratulations to Julia. I'm not sure how many times it'll happen going forward, but from what I could tell from the people listening and the people who've tweeted the shows, she did a good job.
How did people enjoy the Todd Callis sideline report?
I don't know. I didn't hear
less praise.
I didn't. I don't know about less praise. I just didn't see anyone acknowledge that it happened. So,
less praise.
So yes, by the strictest of definitions, less praise, because there was none. But there was no negative either. So I don't know how people felt about Todd Callis not calling the game.
Didn't love his pictures.
Yeah.
Actually, I kind of liked them because they're so bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, man, don't keep your greasy thumb off the lens.
Yeah.
do something. But Todd Callis was just a different opportunity. And he, self-deprecating, I think even before, was like, you know what? Julia's going to do a much better job than I am going to do that, than I'm going to do this. And he was right on that, according to the people who praised Julia.
I kind of wish something had happened where they needed like a veteran sideline reporter, where it's like there's a fight in the dugout or something, where he's providing like a crucial report. And
a bad some guy doesn't run out a grounder,
yeah,
and Espada pulls them, and then there's a back and forth.
Yeah,
and because of lack of communication.
Caratini. Yeah,
yeah, and Todd Callis is completely overwhelmed by the situation.
Whoa.
Whoa.
They're loud down here.
What's going on out there? What's going on in here? A bit of a skerfuffle going on. I'm not sure what's going on, Julia, but it doesn't look good.
Back to you guys.
Back to you. I'll have more in a moment. Yeah. I feel like Todd Callis would have handled that just fine, but you never know. On site, maybe got a little shook. He did not have to deal with that. It was a pretty straightforward night for the Astros and the broadcast as they walk away with a win. I want to do this quickly before we go to break because we are short on time right now. But while the Astros were putting it on the A's, you had a couple games in the NBA. One just showcase what I think is always going to be a problem for this version of the Celtics: their inability to run offense late when it matters. Look, they win, they go 3-1. The big story going into the game was the status of Donovan Mitchell, and he did not play. He was unavailable, which has been the case, not necessarily in these playoffs, but for Donovan Mitchell this year. 55 games played. He hasn't played 70 games since his second year in the league. So when we are talking about trying to acquire a player of a stature and what it might cost, his availability is going to become a part of, well, at least it should become a part of the discussion. How many games are you going to get from your star player? Can he be depended on night after night? Is the issues he's had with lower leg stuff going to be a thing that hounds him throughout the rest of his career? He's only 27, so age isn't a factor, but durability may become a factor for Donovan Mitchell before a lot of people thought it would be. So that's just an aside as that discussion is going to go on in the offseason, and the Cavs are getting ever closer to that offseason. What are you giving up for a guy who may not be dependable? And some people are like, you know what? The talent Trump saw, which is easy to say now when you're not in the middle of a five-game stretch and he's unavailable for four of them because of different ailments. Then it becomes real when it's your problem and not the Cavs' problem. But that's a discussion for later in the offseason. But as far as the game, look, can't knock the Celtics about talent. That's an uber-talented team, and they are going to just overwhelm teams with talent. But you saw when they couldn't put the Cavs away in the fourth quarter and the Cavs kept fighting back, Darius Garland had his best game of the series as he kept driving into the lane and getting guys open jumpers. The problem for him is he's depending on guys like Dean Wade and Sam Merrill. Those guys aren't playoff rotation guys, and it has a lot to do with Donovan Mitchell and Jared Allen not being available. So even the breaks he did get didn't last long because you can't have Max Strus being your primary ball handler. And that's what it turned into because they have injuries in the backcourt beyond Mitchell. I believe Caleb Porter is the guy that he could be playing in this series if he wasn't injured. So they had issues, and it lent themselves to not being able to close this game out. It was right there for him. The Celtics are struggling down the stretch. They were taking jumpers with no movement, not really running real offense, running clock, and it devolves into step-back jumpers from Tatum and Brown. And predictably, those didn't go down. Brown did make a big three to kind of put the game away late, but it felt like the Cavs were already running on fumes there. But the Celtics are going to win this series and probably win the East, whether they face a beaten down Knicks team or a Pacers team you can't take seriously because they don't play enough defense. But once you get them against a Western Conference opponent, and we'll get to that when we come back, because the Western Conference all of a sudden turned into a hellscape. We went from, look at the Thunder after game one and look at the Wolves after game two. Two, we are probably in for at least they're going to be sixth. We're probably going to get at least one seven-game series and maybe two. And we're talking about two series where both teams are going to be likely beat up once they face the winners, the victors of those series, and then who knows what they have left for a Western Conference Finals. God, the East is going to be such a drag compared to the West.
It's crazy how, God, the East is going to be such a drag compared to the West has been true for literally my entire life.
Yeah, even when the East had a superstar in LeBron,
it was him. He would go to the finals every
year.
Yes,
no one could stop him. So
there's never another good team.
From the moment he decided, I'm out of Cleveland, the first time, he ran the East in Miami, and then when he got back to Cleveland, and then the East finally opened up when he left. And even since that point, the Raptors won a title. Yeah, because the Warriors had all the injuries. No one's been the Celtics team is probably the problem here because people have had high expectations for the Celtics because of the two star wings, and then they add Derek White and Drew Holiday this year. They've had other players in the past, but they've never come through. They lost to like the one last dance Golden State Warriors, and when people thought they should have won that series, and the same issues that plagued them in that series and in other playoff runs are plaguing them now. They can't be trusted down the stretch. They got a close win, but they wheezed their way to it. It's not like they bathed themselves in glory. And it just so happened the Cavs didn't have their closer. And I mentioned that because we're going to get to the OKC-Dallas series when we come back. And you see why GMs love a star player. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, what he did late and the tough buckets he made, it shows you the importance of having one of those dudes. It's why Daryl Morey hitched his wagon to James Harden for years, even to his own detriment, because he thought James would eventually come through, because at least for 80 regular season games and let's say 8 playoff games a year, James could be one of those dudes. It just didn't happen enough to go win a title. But Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, at least last night, with the season on the line, showed up, and we'll get into some of his numbers when we come back. And if you want to bet on the NBA playoffs, you know where you go? You go to MyBookie. The playoffs are heating up, and it's the perfect time to elevate your game with MyBookie. And you know, with MyBookie, you can bet from anywhere, anytime, so you never miss a shot to cash in on any play you're looking at. You can live stream and bet on the games right from the sportsbook. It gives you everything you'll need to decide to either you want to cash out, and you know what, sometimes you want to let it ride because you're feeling good. MyBookie really takes it to the next level and gets you paid with tons of boosted props and parlays. And the new boosts that happen daily are something you really need to look into. It's more than just a sports book. It provides you an opportunity to bet on games that, you know, we love sports, but sometimes the games aren't great. MyBookie gives you a reason to stay locked in on those games. It gives you an entertainment factor that maybe you wouldn't get if you weren't able to bet. So give yourself a head start today and play with house money using promo code BET975 when you make your first deposit. With that promo code, you sign up. On that first deposit, remember, you get bonus money. And hey, if you're an existing customer, MyBookie even has a reload bonus. So go to MyBookie. Remember, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Final segment of hour one. We'll get into some college football stuff because announcements for game times and where Big Monday, that's a college basketball reference. Big noon kickoff those, some of those announcements are coming out. Where is game day going to be the first weekend of the season? We have that out there too. So we'll get into that in the second hour. But before we do that, I did want to get into what happened in the OKC Dallas game. And I talked about how sometimes you just need a star. And that's what Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was last night. The jumpers in the mid-range, 10 of 14. And the mid-range generally isn't a place you want people to operate. It's deemed inefficient. We know it was taken to an extreme here with the layups and threes for the Rockets during the Daryl Morey era. But the shots aren't great ones in the mid-range. Guys aren't proficient at them. So that, along with long twos, are things NBA teams try to stay away from, unless you're great at it. We know, and Daryl Morey used this reasoning, that if a guy's great in the mid-range, sure. So Chris Paul, take all the mid-range shots you want because you're great at them, but I don't want my non-elite mid-range guys to be playing in that area. And it made plenty of sense. Well, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander wasn't great anywhere else last night. He didn't take many threes. In fact, he only took the one and he missed it. He's 4 for 12 in the paint. But when the Thunder needed buckets down the stretch, he was that guy. 10 out of 14 in the mid-range overall, but clutch shot after clutch shot. And it felt like that game and this season was slipping away from them. The Dallas all of a sudden has a great defense. You don't think a defense led by, and I can't say led by, but you don't think a point of attack defense that has Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic would be a great defense, but they have been. So many possessions resulted in Lu Dort taking a three-pointer with under 5 seconds left on the clock. And that's kind of the shot you want them taking, particularly in that first half. He was awful. I think several air balls, at least a couple. But he made a couple in the fourth quarter, and that helped the Thunder stay in it as Dallas could not pull away. Luka's had a bad series, and we talked about it here, that the injury is taking its toll. He's just not right. But he'll keep playing, and he's a guy who's going to let you know he's injured because he's going to grab at a brace. He's going to grimace. He's going to limp for a couple strides and then try to get back into the play. So we're going to know that Luka's hurt. He's going to let you know that he's hurt, but you can't say that it isn't affecting his performance. And Lu Dort can be given some credit too. Look, Dallas fans hate Lu Dort because I look up stats and then all of a sudden all the Dallas Stan accounts from my For You page, and all of them are about how Lu Dort's a flopper, which he has been in this series. But they hate this guy. But him being the primary defender on big time scores, Luka's underperformed, and it was the same way in the first round as well. He's done his job. Lu Dort's played well against Ingram and Luka. It's just not that aesthetically pleasing to watch him fall all over himself to draw fouls. It ain't great, but you do what you have to do, and that series is now tied at two. You know, P.J. Washington, who's been an outlier shooting in this series, you know, the Thunder have decided we're going to live with P.J. Washington shooting corner threes. He has not been a great shooter from that spot or even wide-open threes. But this series, for whatever reason, he has turned into an elite three-point shooter. He even made one. Like, he had made like a couple in a row from the same spot. And then the whistle blew because his foot was on the line, out of bounds line. I threw it up and made it. It would have been three in a row. That's where he is as a shooter. He cooled off in the second half. And that helped the Mavericks, their offense slow down to a halt a little bit as the Thunder got some stops and they eventually found a way to win. That's a big win. We talk about young teams and how they respond to things. And they've looked rather young in games two and three. But game four, man, a big one. Their season could have been done for. And Shai shows up. I got to give all credit to that kid because – a grown man, really. But that's a big-time spot. Really probably his first big-time spot where he's the number one, he's needed, and he kept making play after play.
Yeah, it was, again, like you said, one of those arrival kind of moments for Shai. And he did it only going to the line six times, made all six free throws. That to me is the story, not just for Shai, because he is a guy who shoots a lot of free throws.
He does.
And because he hasn't been in these big spots, he doesn't really get hit with the free throw stuff the way that other guys get hit with. that are just playing in bigger games that more people are watching.
Yeah, he's been hit with like a grifter in the regular season, but it really comes to the forefront if you start grifting in the playoffs.
Yes.
And he hasn't had the opportunity, at least, to get to the free throw line a lot.
And then, especially not in big moments. And then the Mavericks as a team, do you know how they shot from the free throw line?
They were awful. Luka missed the front end of two that would have given them a chance to tie the game, which screwed up their math, and they are kind of, from that point, essentially out of it. They were, did they finish like 12 for 24 or something like that? 12 for 25? What were they?
The Dallas Mavericks, in a game that they lost by four, were 12 for 23 from the line.
Yeah, and one of those.
And the Thunder, by the way, were 23 for 24.
Yeah.
That's the game.
In a close ball game where every point is going to matter. 100 to 96, by the way, was the final score. So certainly not the NBA we've become accustomed to in the regular season. More like the playoff basketball people are always craving. 100 to 96 and being almost perfect from the free throw line. You got to credit. And that's a young team. You talk about the guys who are on the floor to close that out. They're all in their 20s. I think the oldest guy was like 25 years old. That was a team who was tested and found a way. And I don't know how the rest of the series is going to go. I don't think home court particularly matters in this series right now. But if we're talking about what OKC can become, that was the moment for them. It may lead to them losing in six to the Mavericks. Who knows? But you can take away this moment for them from the playoffs. When their backs were against the wall, they were down double digits in that game. They found a way to claw back in the fourth quarter. It was a long climb. It wasn't like there was this big burst by them to get them back in it. They were in that 6-7-9 range for a long time, and eventually in the fourth quarter, they got it done.
Yeah, I was laughing because TNT would keep showing the like run that they're on, and it would be like a 27-20 run over the last 7 minutes.
Yeah, that's not really a run.
I'm like, it's a slow walk.
Yeah,
it's like what this is.
It's a casual stroll to hawking the Mavericks like, down.
I get it. They're making up ground. But, yeah.
But you don't need to. If it's 27-20 over almost 8 minutes of game time, you don't need to put that up.
Yeah,
that graphic doesn't need to go up.
And then in the fourth quarter, they actually did go on, I think, a 11-2 or 9-0 run.
Yeah.
That's where it really. That's where the game was kind of decided.
Yeah, I think it was 86-80. And they went on a 9-0 run to finally take their first lead, I think maybe since the first quarter or so, or if they had a lead in the first quarter. And they eventually got enough stops and made enough free throws to win.
Yeah, and I thought that honestly, Luka just didn't seem to have it. And either that's injury or just some nights he don't have it. And there's a lot of times, especially during that run by OKC, where it was Kyrie, and Kyrie was getting good shots. He was getting shots that we've seen Kyrie make, and he also he went 4-for-11 for 9 points. Like at a certain point when Luka's this hobbled, you can't make any free throws as a team. You're going to need someone else to step up that isn't P.J. Washington, I guess, because that's a thing that happens now is P.J. Washington is scoring 20 points every night.
Well, you talk to the Celtics about what Caleb Martin did to them. It happens in the playoffs. You can't account for it. It just happens.
I saw someone say if this was the conference finals or finals, P.J. Washington would be dangerously close to winning MVP for the series.
Yes.
If they gave out series MVPs for the second round.
I mean, Derek Jones Jr. and P.J. Washington. Now, P.J. Washington didn't shoot well inside the arc. He was 5-for-11 from three, only 2-for-8 in other attempts. But he and Derek Jones Jr., combined for 38 points, and Luka and Kyrie combined for 27. Sometimes it'd be like that. You know the Mavs are going to be thinking they really let one get away because they had a chance, but their two stars didn't play well, and Luka shot 6-for-20. Look, he had a triple-double, but no one's going to credit you for that.
This isn't 2017 anymore, all right? We know that there's bad triple-doubles.
Yes, 18, 10, and 12, great. But on 6-for-20 and 2-of-9 from 3, We saw the game. That wasn't a good game for Luka. He's got a real opportunity to bounce back. But you saw those guys walk off the floor. They knew. They knew they had the Thunder. They knew they could go up 3-1. And now they're in for a really long series, which is great for us, not great for the Mavericks, and not great for Luka's knee, which can't imagine is going to get any better as he puts more miles on him. But you got to give him credit for this. He's playing. Donovan Mitchell did not play. The level of injury and things that can keep you off the floor are different from player to player, but you can't say Luka doesn't play. He shows up. Tongue Dark Chris wants to call in. I guess it's about the Astros. We never know. We'll talk to him when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
What's up, Foos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.